Thank you for welcoming me here to share the sermon this morning, the message, the word, as Pastor Luis said, and I believe it's time for children to go to Sunday school, or have they done that already? Well, have a wonderful Sunday school. Yay! Let us pray together. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for this sacred time when we can come together, share our faith silently or with words, with song, with music that enlivens our hearts. We especially thank you for this day, a special day set aside to remember how you have worked in the lives of those we have loved and lost. We pray, O God, that we will worship you in spirit and in truth, and that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today it's All Saints Day, and you see it says November 1st up there. That's like the official church calendar day, but many churches, just like Crossroads, observe All Saints Day on the first Sunday in November. So that's why I have this candle we're offering with our hands, the lighting of candles, the remembering of those we have loved and lost and how they changed our lives. Why does this matter? It matters because the lives of those we have loved, who are no longer here with us on this earth, have changed our lives. They have changed our lives by sharing their faith. They have changed our lives by embodying all that Christ was and is to come. They have changed our lives not only by what we shared when they were here with us, but by what we will carry on for our lives and what we then share with others. It's this beautiful chain, this amazing mystery, this living here and then living there in that next place, whatever it may be. And when I think of All Saints Day, and many other things too, but today's about All Saints, it reminds me of beauty, the concept of beauty. My colleagues from seminary often tease me about, oh, it's beautiful, isn't it, Cindy? You think that's beauty, right? Because beauty is something that's near and dear to my heart and that has made a huge difference in my life of faith and in my preaching and in my worshiping and in everything. It first hit me when I was taking a class at the Congregational Library in Boston. We had an afternoon free and we went to the big museum in Boston that had an exhibition of paintings by John Singer Sargent. Anybody know that artist, John Singer Sargent? And he mostly did portraits, even though he was in the same time as Monet and all those impressionists. He mostly painted portraits. And he was kind of teased or put down a little bit by his colleagues for not painting in impressionism. But in his portraits, it was a huge exhibition. I can't even tell you how many rooms there were. But I remember having to sit down at one point because it was so overwhelming, because every time I looked at a portrait, whether it be the size of the person or even larger or even smaller, I felt that I was looking into their souls, that I could see right into the very essence of that person, of how God had created them and what then they were in this world. It was a profound experience, and the only thing I could think of was that this was true beauty. This was absolute beauty. When I wrote my dissertation, I did it on beauty, and I found a theologian named Hans-Urs von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian from the mid-20th century, and his sort of trinity, if you will, of theology was that God is truth, beauty, and goodness. Truth, beauty, and goodness. And so I wrote this dissertation, and what I, after doing much research, I wanted the dissertation to be about how we meet God in the beauty of the arts and how those arts might then be used in worship. So I talked about music and drama and film and painting, all those things, and that not only do we see God in the final product, the film we watch or the piece of music that we hear, but in all of those gifts that are freely used in the process of creating what we see and experience in art, like composers. Where did they get that gift from? From God. And did they use it? Yes, they used it well. From writers. I'm so excited, the new John Irving book is coming out. From writers. Not only is the book brilliant, not only is the writer brilliant, but he uses this gift that God gave him. So I think about where these come from. John Singer Sargent's paintings, they gave me eyes into the soul of all these people. But it wasn't just him and his talent. It was the God that gave him that gift and then inspired him to use that gift. So what I ended up coming up with was that beauty, this is the thesis, beauty is a subjective thing, but how do we define it? So after all my research and everything, I ended up defining beauty as an entryway into the presence of God. An entryway into the presence of God, and that is what today is all about. Those we have loved and lost, and how they, with us, gave us an entryway into the presence of God. So I had to come up with criteria. You know, when you write a big paper, they make you, like, prove it. So I came up with 6 criteria. And as I say these criteria, I want you to think about how these criteria might apply to the relationships we've had with these amazing people we are going to remember today. So beauty is defined as that which reflects God's essence. And God is beauty, and this person says, Waldo Emerson, we all know him, right? Never lose an opportunity to see anything beautiful, for beauty is God's handiwork. Here are the criteria. Christ himself is the criteria. We are to be imitators of Christ in this life as people of faith. 2, beauty reflects eternity and in contrast to human limitations. So here we are on this earth, but where do we go? To eternity. The 3rd one is universality and uniqueness. It's everyone, and yet each of us is unique, made in the image of God. The 4th one, harmony. Beauty is in harmony with truth and goodness. Remember von Balthasar's 3 things, truth, beauty, and goodness. So all 3 live together in harmony, just like the 3 people of the Trinity. And beauty has a transformative nature. Have we been transformed by those we've loved and lost? You bet. And the last one, abundance. Abundance. I don't think I need to say anything about that. So today, we remember those who have gone before. Beauty is God. Beauty is God's handwriting. Is there anything more beautiful to reflect on than those who have gone before? Our relationships, what we shared, what we gave, what we received, what we learned, and what we still have now that their frail human bodies have left this earth. We still have them with us, don't we? So, when we sit with someone who is going from this life to the next, it is a great privilege, a blessing. Where's Margot? We were talking about this a couple weeks ago. It is a sacred time, a beautiful time, a mysterious time. Beauty doesn't have to be happy or filled with joy. Rather, it is a depth of feeling of God's presence. Perhaps the most powerful times of this feeling of God's presence are at birth and at death. And today we're speaking of remembering those who have met death face to face, those we've loved and lost, and the meaningful relationships that we have shared. And we're going to begin with family. And my dear Heather is sitting right there. You see Heather right there. And next to Heather is her grandma. And all of these people are Heather's cousins and siblings, except for the little guy, that's her nephew. And I asked Heather if I could use this picture that she posted on Facebook, because last Saturday, a week ago, not yesterday, a week ago Saturday, this whole group of cousins, plus all the aunts and uncles and siblings that aren't in the picture, gathered to remember Heather's mom. Her name, Julie Lynn Sternitsky. She died 5.5 weeks ago at the very young age of 59. Way too young. She'd been sick, but she was getting better, so we were hopeful. We were all hopeful, and I kept texting, "How's your mom? How's your mom?" Trying not to bug her, but just... And what did Julie, Heather's mom, ask of her family? To have a celebration. A true celebration of life. The beauty that is found in loving relationships. So there was food and drink and games and laughter and memories and tears. And mostly what I could feel, it was a really profoundly beautiful time, was appreciation. I could feel gratitude, appreciation for what Julie had given to each and every person there. And appreciation then for one another. They were all there to support Heather and Julie's other children. All right, Ben? No, what's your brother's name? Christopher. Christopher and her sister, Holly. I knew I'd forget something. I'd never met them until that day, and what a joy it was to meet them. So Christopher and Heather and Holly. So everybody was there to support them and to support Julie's mom and her siblings who aren't in the picture. And as we look at these faces that most of them are just grinning from ear to ear because of the joy that they have in being together and the appreciation they had for remembering Julie and what she had brought to all of them, to each of them. And then we all know that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Here it is, right here. That's God at work. So think of your own family and how this is present. That's God at work. So now we have friends that are like family. They're kind of like adopted brothers and sisters, grandparents, aunts, uncles, etc. Our friends are the families that we choose. Think of what we've shared with them. Experiences, words, troubles, tears, our greatest joys, everything. What would we do without them? What happens to those relationships when they are gone from this world? And now that I'm older, I like to think of my friendships that have lasted for many years, how our relationships have grown over the time in ways that were completely surprising, unpredictable, never could have known where these relationships of friendship were going to go. How our love has grown in strength and depth and understanding. And as I look to the future, because there's a lot of gray in here, I consider my many amazing friendships, the ones that have lasted decades, and I wonder how long we will share life on this earth. I wonder what more we will discover about one another and what remarkable experiences we will share, whether sitting in silent reflection, just filled with the love of being together, or traveling to new places in the world and discovering that what matters to people here matters to people everywhere. So take a moment to think of your friendships, the ones that are brand new, like the ones I'm making here, and the ones that we've known, people we've known for decades. In today's reading from Ephesians, we find Paul speaking of the inheritance that we get from God Some people would think that that's going to have an eternal life, and I believe it is, but I also believe it's living life here. This is the grace of God. This is a free gift. A free gift. There is nothing we can do to earn it. We can't be good enough or perfect enough or filled with grace and love enough. Grace from God is free. God loves us and wants our lives to be filled with goodness, beauty, and truth. Hence, the gift of grace. Paul speaks of knowing Jesus and what we gain in that relationship. He begins by telling our purpose here on this earth, that God created us that we might live in praise of God's glory. In praise of God's glory. We are then reminded by Paul the promise of the Holy Spirit guiding our lives toward that beautiful inheritance. This inheritance is spoken of specifically in verses 17 and 18, which you'll find up here, when Paul tells us what he prays for, what he prays God will give us. He says, "I pray that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him," know Jesus, that is, "so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints." So, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that is knowledge of God through Jesus. That's the first thing, knowledge of God through Jesus. That we grow in the art of recognizing the divine at work on earth here. To me, that sounds like what we receive from family and friends that we love, yes? The knowledge of God. For every time we love and we share who we are and how we were made, we are learning more about God. That is what our dearly departed loved ones gave to us, yes? And that's why we miss them so dearly. And then Paul says that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened so that we might truly embody the hope of Christ. Again, our loved ones, the relationships that we've shared, and the ones we will continue to share in the future. We get it from them. We share it with others. So sometimes it's challenging to name the pieces of life that we gain from our loving relationships. So I went to my husband, Michael. He's quite a wordsmith. And I had come up with a list of about 5 or 6 things. And I said, okay, so tell me, what's a list of what we get from our loved ones? What do we get? So let's look at this list. Love, listening, good examples, intimacy, help, trust, presence, respect, learning, life itself, friendship, laughter, touch, happiness, faith, silliness. That's Michael's. Empathy, memories, fun, attachment, support, gratitude, joy, forgiveness, encouragement, hope, compassion, affection, creativity, that's mine, and interest. You can see all of these, and as you think about these words, I want you to not only think of other words to add to the list, because you probably have more, because you aren't us. So you think of your own words that you gain from loving relationships, but also please consider which of these gifts of relationship remain with us when the ones we have loved have gone. Which of these remain with us, impact us still, fill us? Can we tangibly remember the love that we've shared? Yes. Can we tangibly have memories that bring us to laughter and tears? Yes. Can we think of how we were in our hearts before we met this person, and then how we were changed by knowing them? It's like in that musical Wicked, the two women sing, Galinda and Elphaba sing, "Because I knew you, I have been changed for good." most of these things remain, do they not? Now, I could tell you story after story after story of people whose deceased loved ones appear to them, either at a certain time of day or when they are in the hospital. It just happened with my mom. She said, "Your dad came to see me last night." Or even in their dreams. I could share with you how often people pick up the phone to call someone who's recently died, like I did with my Nana. Something happened and I was all excited, and this is before cell phones, and I went to the wall of my kitchen and I picked up the phone, and then I paused. Or I could tell you about those who talk to their spouses or their child or their friends who are departed on a regular basis. I think it's a very good and holy thing to do. And though often we human beings steer clear from sharing these stories for fear of being thought a bit odd, when the stories are shared, once again, a beautiful thing has occurred. It is a God-revealing moment when we share. So today we remember the saints who have loved us. They have shared their lives freely with us, and we will never be the same. As prominent theologian from the 60s and 70s, William Stringfellow said, "Saints are those who relish the event of life as a gift and realize that the only way to honor such a gift is to give it away." And where are they now? They are with God in heaven, where there is no sorrow or sighing or pain or suffering. They are whole. They are in the place that God has prepared for us, the place of perfect peace, perfect love, which is the great gift of grace given to us freely by our Creator. Beautiful, yes? They gave themselves to us, embracing who God created them to be, and used their God-given gifts to spread love with wild abandon, as we are commanded to do. They revealed God to us in their actions and their unconditional and abundant love. And by that very love, we have been transformed and will continue to be transformed into our unique and divinely created selves. So now, let us name the saints who have gone before. Light candles to remind us of the light they brought into our lives and into this world. We thank God for the gifts of these lives, these beautiful lives. Amen.